Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're in Revelation. We're at the end of the third chapter, and today we're going to begin to look at the last church. Remember, there's seven churches that the Lord is addressing in Revelation 2 and Revelation 3. And today I'm just going to read the whole passage of what the Lord says. And then the next episode or two, we'll go back and maybe look a little more detail at it. And so this is the one that's written to the angel of the church in Laodicea. And if you have any type of Western church background, grown up in a church type of thing, you probably never know when you hear Laodicea what you're thinking, okay? And there's good reasons, because the Lord says some tough things to him right here. But there's actually a good word of encouragement out of this church if we pay some attention. I'll tell you right up front, this church apparently repented because they were a church for many centuries, okay? For many, many, many hundreds of years. They were finally destroyed by the Muslims. The whole town was destroyed. And it's just a heap of ruins now. But apparently the church lasted for a while, okay? As best we know. You know, I could be wrong about that, but according to my information I have now, you know how that goes, right? So let's just read this. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of Revelation. The Lord is telling John to write this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. We'll look at that all in more detail later. He says this. You want to guess what he says first? Take a wild guess. If you've been with us, you're right. I know your deeds. He tells him again, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Or the New American Standard here says, I will spit you out of my mouth. The Greek literally means I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, there's probably several passages right there that we're very familiar with, okay? And we may even be familiar within the totality of the context. Okay, maybe not. A lot of times folks aren't. Yeah? But I just want to emphasize one thing, and then the next episode we'll go back and start and sort of work our way through it real quick. Notice what he says. The one whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He loves them, folks, just like he loves us. Just like he loves us when we commit sin against him. Just like he loves us when we stray away and get distracted by things. Okay, just like he loves us, he gives us an opportunity to repent. He gives them an opportunity to be zealous, and he's calling them to do that. He says, I reproved you. He said, I want to vomit you out of my mouth, but I'm disciplining you. I want you to repent, and I want you to be zealous for that which you have experienced. But then one of the most heart-wrenching things ever, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He's wanting to come into them. He wants to come into their lives. Now, it's really interesting because this is the body of Christ, and this is a group that professes to be believers. And so there's all sorts of debate and all sorts of wonderful preaching and teaching, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, related to all this. I just want to leave this with a couple of things right here. The Lord is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door of them corporately. Okay, corporately is the body of Christ. And he's saying, hey, is anybody home? Is anybody listening? Will you open the door when you hear my voice? He's knocking on the door of those individually. And he's saying, do you hear me? Do you hear my voice? Will you open the door and allow me to come in? Will you come in and have relationship? Okay, will you allow me to sit at table with you? One of the greatest pictures ever painted, and I feel sure you're aware of this, of this particular moment right here, shows Jesus at the door knocking of a house. And one of the, and it's, a lot of times people say, well, this is a fine detail. It's really not a fine detail. It's a really rather obvious thing. The door has no doorknob on the outside. Okay, it has no doorknob on the outside. In other words, it has to be open from within. The door has to be open from within. The Lord's not going to come along and knock the door down. He comes. What does he do? He knocks. What does he do? He speaks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. If we open the door, if we invite, he will come in and dine with us. He will live within us. Too often, I think that we cry to the Lord repeatedly and we pray to the Lord and we do all these things to the Lord in the name of the Lord, when it, what we're really crying for is already there. It's not that we need more of the Lord. It's that we need to open the door and let him in. It's not that we need more of the Spirit. If you're truly saved, you have all the Spirit. What we need is less of us, right? It's just a lot to be seen right here and a lot to be gleaned, a lot to be understood. So when we hear these initial words right here, Laodicea, you know, I know your deeds, you're not hot and cold. I wish you were neither hot and cold. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Sometimes we think, well, man, that's it. There's no more hope for them. Oh, no, 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 folks. There's tremendous hope for them, just like there's hope for us. Well, again, I'm Dale. We'll look more at this in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.